The reading is taken from the book of Daniel, and I'm reading the whole of chapter 1. It's entitled The Young Men at Nebuchadnezzar's Court. In the third year that Jehoiakim was king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked Jerusalem and surrounded the city. The Lord let him capture King Jehoiakim and seize some of the temple treasures. He took some prisoners back with him to the temple of his gods in Babylon, and put the captured treasures in the temple storerooms. The king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief official, to select from among the Israelite exiles some young men of the royal family and of the noble families. They had to be handsome, intelligent, well-trained, quick to learn, and free from physical defects, so that they would be qualified to serve in the royal court. Ashpenaz was to teach them to read and write the Babylonian language. The king also gave orders that every day they were to be given the same food and wine as the members of the royal court. After 3 years of this training, they were to appear before the king. Among those chosen were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all of whom were from the tribe of Judah. The chief official gave them new names: Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel made up his mind not to let himself become ritually unclean by eating the food and drinking the wine of the royal court. So he asked Ashpenaz to help him, and God made Ashpenaz sympathetic to Daniel. Ashpenaz, however, was afraid of the king. So he said to Daniel, "The king has decided what you are to eat and drink, and if you don't look as fit as the other young men, he may kill me." So Daniel went to the guard whom Ashpenaz had placed in charge of him and his three friends. "Test us for 10 days, he said. "Give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare us with the young men who are eating the food of the royal court and base your decision on how we look." He agreed to let them try it for 10 days. When the time was up, they looked healthier and stronger than all those who had been eating the royal food. So from then on, the guard let them continue to eat vegetables instead of what the king provided. God gave the four young men knowledge and skill in literature and philosophy. In addition, he gave Daniel skill in interpreting visions and dreams. At the end of the 3 years set by the king, Ashpenaz took all the young men to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them all, and Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah impressed him more than any of the others, so they became members of the king's court. No matter what question the king asked or what problem he raised, these four knew 10 times more than any fortune teller or magician in his whole kingdom. Daniel remained at the royal court until King Cyrus of Persia conquered Babylonia. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Al, for reading that for us. A long reading, some difficult words in there. Let's pray together. Father God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear afresh from you again this evening. Open our eyes to the book of Daniel. Inspire us from the words that we read, and make an impact in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I thought about bottling out this evening, trying to follow that video. I wondered if we should just show the full 12 minutes and I sit down and give myself an easy evening. Yes. Oh, some people want to do that, do they? Well, we're not going to. You're going to hear from the book of Daniel this evening. So there. But this evening we are going to finish our short series on connecting with culture. Over the course of this series, we've tried to look at a number of people or events from both the Old and New Testaments that help us to understand how we can connect with culture today. And this evening, as we finish the series, we're going to go back to the Old Testament to look at one more character, to look at how he connected with culture, and to see what we can learn. This evening, we are turning our attention to the book of Daniel. But before we get into the text itself, there's a lot to consider about the book. that will have an impact on the way that we understand it and the way that we apply it for ourselves today. The first question we need to answer, and it's probably the hardest of all, is who wrote the book? You might think it's a bit of a no-brainer, really. Surely the book of Daniel must have been written by Daniel. Or at the very least, Daniel oversaw its writing. But the truth is, we cannot be sure. You see, outside of this book, there is very little known about a guy called Daniel. And there's only one other book in the Bible that mentions a similar name. There is a reference to a Daniel in Ezekiel. He was a righteous man held up alongside Noah and Job in terms of his stature. But is this the same man that we're talking about here? We just can't be sure. You see, if Daniel had written the book of Daniel, then it would have been dated around 600 BC. However, the form and style of the writing, even the language that the book is written in parts, would suggest a much later time of around 165 BC. This would suggest that the book was written by somebody else, drawing on legends of righteous people from the past to bring a message to the people of their time. This was not uncommon, and there are a number of books written like this. So the name Daniel could well have been chosen to try and personalise the legends, to make them easier for people to connect with. And a number of commentators think that it's likely that the book was written around 165 BC, as the Israelites were struggling with the influence of Greek culture on their society. And around that time, Alexander the Great had big plans to expand his empire and to make the whole of his empire Hellenistic, like the Greeks, in other words, in terms of their culture. If we look at the history of the Israelites, we see from writings such as the Maccabees and others that many Israelites were seduced by this Greek way of thinking and of living. The young men were adopting Greek clothing. They styled themselves on all the latest Greek customs. Many adopted Greek names and chose to live very much in the Greek way. The people of Israel were moving away from their roots and were seeking to embrace this new culture. So it's likely that the writer of the book of Daniel chose to write this book to encourage those Israelites in exile or those under persecution to remain strong. It was written to try to stop the wholesale abandonment of the Israelite culture and of their belief in God, a single supreme God who was Lord of all, rather than going for the Greek pantheon of gods. The book of Daniel is written in two halves. The first half shares stories and legends about Daniel to encourage the readers to follow his example of right living. The second half shares visions and dreams of Daniel to encourage the readers that things will change, things will get better. Now, I know I've been a little bit technical this evening, more so than I would normally choose to be, but I feel that if we are to truly understand the significance of the book of Daniel in how we connect with culture, then we really must understand the culture and context in which it was written. And when we understand that, it was written to directly challenge a society that was in danger of selling out to the prevailing culture, then it will help us to understand its relevance for each of us and for our church today. So what do we learn from this book about connecting with culture? It's clear to me that there are two main things that we can learn from this book of Daniel to help us as we seek to connect with culture. Neither of them are revolutionary. I'm probably not going to tell you anything amazingly new this evening. But don't switch off. Because what is the difficult bit is knowing how to apply these well-known things to our life, to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes as others before us. So the first thing we learn is simply this. Connecting with culture does not mean selling out to culture. If we look through the first six chapters of Daniel, and Val, you'll be pleased to know I didn't make you read all six chapters of Daniel, we read stories about a young man and a group of friends who are forced into a different culture. They are pushed and cajoled, tricked and bullied into selling out their faith and their history in order to find acceptance in this new culture. It is clear that if these men are to succeed, then they must abandon their old ways and embrace this new way of living. And in the passage that we heard read this evening in Daniel 1, we see that from the very beginning, Daniel and his friends are being pushed to change their way of life. They're given new names, told to eat different foods, and given opportunity to have a whole new life, as long as they're prepared to give up their old values. Later on, if you read Daniel chapter 3, there's the account of the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refuse to bow down and worship the king when the music is played. The result? They were thrown into a furnace. And then further on, in Daniel chapter 6, we read how Daniel himself refused to stop worshipping his God, and he was thrown into a pit of lions. The message of the book of Daniel is simply this. Daniel and his friends did not compromise their faith. They did not sell out just to fit in. They did not allow themselves to give up their principles. And as a result, God honored their choices and they flourished. This is why the context of the book is so important. It was primarily written to a people who were full of compromise. People who were abandoning the faith and selling out to the culture of the day. The book was written as a way of encouraging the people to stand firm in what they believed and not to sell out. What applied to the people in 165 BC, I think, is equally applicable to the church in 2014 AD. If we are not careful, we are in danger of selling out our faith in order to try and connect with culture. So what are the lessons for us as individuals? Well, I would suggest we need to stand up for what we believe in. If we know that our faith is right, then we need to continue to live our lives shaped by our faith. That may mean we are unpopular. It may mean that we are at times isolated. It may mean at times we are threatened. It will mean that we will stand out from the crowd, just as Daniel did. You see, we do not need to go along with the crowd to connect with culture. And what are the lessons for the church then? Well, I wonder, is the church in danger of losing its distinctiveness? Are we guilty of compromising our faith, our traditions, our history, in order to get people into our church? I wonder, are we now only viewed, maybe a little bit like political parties, that we're all just basically the same anyway? It doesn't really matter what religion we choose. If our traditions or history are of no help in sharing the gospel, then there is no harm in laying them to one side to make it easier for people to explore faith. But when our tradition and history are integral in what we believe, we would do well not to let go of them too easily. We must ask ourselves the question as a church, do we compromise ourselves to get people into the building? If the answer to that is yes, maybe we should revisit the story of Daniel and take notice of how he behaved. The second lesson that we can learn from studying the book of Daniel is that this man and his friends had a depth of faith that was attractive. It was attractive not just because the men stood up for what they believed. It was attractive because of what God did through their faith. Look again at chapter 1. Daniel goes to Ashpenaz, the king's official, who was sympathetic to Daniel. Daniel and his friends found favor with him and with the guards and with the king because God used their faith to impact on the lives of those around them. If you look at the story in chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they refuse to bow down and worship and they are thrown into the furnace. Their depth of faith got them in a whole lot of trouble. But again, it is that same depth of faith and the way that God honours it that brings about a change and a softening of the heart of the king. And again, in chapter 6, we read how Daniel was a favourite in the king's court, but his faith and his position have caused others to hate him and envy his position. The king is tricked and Daniel is put into this pit of lions. But yet again, the depth of faith shines through. The uncompromising stance that Daniel takes is honoured by God. And as a result, the king is won over. Let me read to you the words from verses 26 and 27 of chapter 6. This is kind of the proclamation that King Darius makes to the people. I command that throughout my empire, everyone should fear and respect Daniel's God. He is a living God, and he will rule forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his power will never come to an end. He saves and rescues. He performs wonders and miracles in heaven and on earth. He saved Daniel from being killed by the lions. You see, on each occasion, the depth of faith that these men have showed placed them in danger. And on each occasion, it was that same depth of faith that saved them. It was that same depth of faith that made such an impression on the king. Yes, they faced opposition and people spoke out against them because of their faith. But overall, the depth of their faith was actually appealing to others. The writer of this book is reminding those Israelites that are in danger of selling out that it is their faith that will make them stand out, and ultimately the depth of that faith that will connect them with the culture around. The writer doesn't offer an easy way of connecting, but he does offer a lasting way of connecting with culture. I wonder, how does our faith stand up under pressure? So what are the lessons for us as individuals? I think we must ask ourselves the same kind of questions. How deep is our faith? Does the way we act and speak attract others? Or does it make no difference to the way we are seen? Surely a deep faith, a faith like Daniel's, will cause a reaction one way or another as people look at us, even if that faith causes us conflict or pain. If our faith is real and evident, people have got to notice. It must cause a reaction. God does not want us to avoid those difficult situations because they might end up being painful for us. He wants us to carry on with our faith and allow him to use those situations. For it's in those moments when we see his power, and it's in those moments when others are drawn to him. because of what they see in us. And what are the lessons for the church? I wonder, are we guilty as a church of compromising what we do? Our services, our clubs, or even our gospel message? Do we compromise just so people will turn up to our church? When we do this, are we guilty of taking away the most attractive part? When we water down what we stand for in the desire to make ourselves more attractive, or just to make ourselves look less obvious or different, do we just become another noise in a noisy world? Just another religion in a large group of religions that are all the same anyway? Do we lose the very depth of faith that will bring people back to God? How do we respond to the lessons of Daniel? How do we connect with culture? Well, over the course of this series, we've seen lots of different ways that we can connect. But I would suggest that all of them involve this depth of faith that marks us out, that stands us out. And the challenge for us all is simply this. Do we as individuals have that depth of faith? Are we willing to show that faith and not to just compromise, to sell out and fit in with the crowd? And do we as God's church have that depth of faith to be distinctive in our community, to stand firm in opposition, and to be attractive because we offer an alternative? Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this book of Daniel and for the challenges that it lays before each of us, for the encouragement that it also brings to each of us. Father God, we pray for ourselves tonight that you would help us to stand tall, that you would help us to develop that deep faith that marks us out as your sons and your daughters, that marks us out as distinctive and different, but at the same time, that depth of faith that is attractive and is a connection point with the culture around. Father God, we pray that you would shape us, you would mold us, you would challenge us, you would make us into those people. That as our faith deepens, so we become more attractive. And as we become more attractive, your name is glorified, and others come to know you as their Saviour. Father God, help us to be your people. Help us to connect with culture and not to sell out. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.